Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to today's Connecting Faith. Glad to have you tuned in. I'm Neil Stavem. I always enjoy the opportunity to get together with you. And we have a couple of regular guests back with us today, which it always makes it enjoyable, too. And I hope that you will plan to join the conversation, maybe with a question or a comment, a concern. Ted, I don't know if you watched any of the Masters yesterday.
I did see a little bit at the end, yeah.
Which is sort of the painful part, right?
If you're Jordan Spieth.
Go along pretty well, except for just a... A little drink of water there.
Yeah.
And realize that, you know, there are times when we can all suddenly experience sudden loss and turn around. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. If you're wishing you could be golfing at the Masters and, you know, retired, we're going to do a little kind of retirement planning, but also some tax planning and thinking about charitable giving today, too. So
it'll
be a good conversation. By the way, tomorrow, of course, begins our spring share. It's our fundraiser. And here in Faith Radio, as a listener-supported ministry, we do rely on your gifts, your support. So looking forward to hearing from you. And you'll hear during our show hour tomorrow, you'll hear some great testimonies of listeners who have been impacted by Faith Radio, and excited to hear how you can join in the support ministry here. So you can find out more today at myfaithradio.com. Make your gift online, too, if you'd like to do that. And there's also the Real Heaven offer that's available there when you go online as well with Chip Ingram.
Yeah, free MP3 series. It's right on our main page there still, and that'll be up for, another couple weeks, I think,
through the month.
Okay, so just check it out, myfaithradio.com. And, while you're there, go ahead and make a gift today and start us off in our spring share with a little bit of seed money to get going.
That'd be wonderful. We'd appreciate that. Well, we appreciate our good friends Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. They're back with us today. Kirby is the Senior Director for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation, and he's been in that position for some 15-plus years, I think. And the foundation serves a key role of being the investment committee for the University of Northwestern, oversees the management and distribution of the institution's investments, and we're honored to have Kirby back with us. Paul Stein is a certified financial planner with more than a quarter century experience in that area. Does that sound... Like there's a lot of gravitas there.
So. Sounds like I'm getting old.
It does. Well, there is a lot of that going around in this room today. President of Advanced Retirement Resources, and he has been our guest and advisor in the past as well, so we're honored to have you guys back. Welcome.
Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Neil.
We wanted to talk today, we'll talk issues of, retirement planning and some of those things, always important to review a bit about wills, estates, and trusts, charitable giving. But maybe first on our minds is the fact that coming up this week, it's that mandated day of accounting, thanks to the federal government, April 15th. But I guess actually we get an extra couple of days this year. No, wait, we get
officially the 18th.
So it's the 18th this year.
Yep.
But it is a day of accounting, and it's a good time for us to actually take account, isn't it? I mean, this is whether we think it's tax rates are too high or not, it's still good to just look and see how we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of those ones who does my taxes on my own using an online tax preparing service, and it's always a good time for me to take stock of how the last year was, and of course, am I getting a refund or not? How much taxes did I pay? Am I withholding the right amounts out of my paycheck? All those questions come up. What things could I be doing differently, charitably giving, saving for retirement, all those types of things.
Yeah, it's a good time of year to do that. Sometimes, people are in a hurry. They get their stuff together. They drop it off at the accountant, and most tax preparers are, it's crunch time. So they're trying to prepare a lot of returns in a short amount of time. And hopefully they do an accurate job of preparing the return. But sometimes there's not a lot of thought that goes into what Kirby was saying. How did it look? How did it turn out? What could I do differently? What could I do better? And so it is a good time to, even though there's a short window here left in this tax season, to, you know, if listeners haven't looked at last year's return, to take it out, look at it. Sometimes a tax preparer will have more time to talk about planning strategies, or a planner, you know, not during the heat of the tax season. But, you know, and there's a lot of things that can be done before the end of the year that can be hugely beneficial over time.
Probably, I'm guessing that the majority of people that are thinking taxes are the ones that still owe some taxes. So
that's probably right.
those that have a refund have probably already submitted that. And I guess somehow we sort of look at that, right? If we get a refund, we think that's really a great deal.
Sometimes I think it appears to you to be a bonus, if you will, this whole refund thing. Of course, Paul and I probably would say that maybe you should go and see if you can do some better tax planning. Because maybe it is that you're withholding way too much to pay for those state and federal taxes.
Yeah, you don't want a huge tax surprise, you know, at tax time where you owe a lot more than you had planned. But what's more important than, you know, getting a refund is what was the amount of tax you actually paid through withholdings, through quarterly estimated taxes, and you know, what was the amount they actually paid, and was there things that you could have done better or different?
And I guess that's the question. If we owe taxes, how do we start in terms of what changes we should make?
You know, if we do owe taxes, I think, if you're earning an income.
I guess I should rephrase that. If we owe at this point, right? Because we've been paying all year long. But if we owe additional amounts. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can certainly take a look at, you know, what were your withholdings in the given year? And can you make some of those changes now? But are there things you could do now before you file that could help you with that? And I know Paul has some ideas. It's a short window, but you've got some options here with some retirement savings.
Well, there are, and a lot of listeners maybe have already filed their returns, you know, but one thing that I commonly see people miss is health savings accounts, where they might, if someone's still working, they might, a lot more and more employers are providing high deductible plans, medical plans, to manage cost. And then sometimes as a part of that, they might contribute a small amount to a health savings account. And then sometimes the employee is able to contribute to that also. And let's say they put in a modest amount through their payroll into that. A lot of people don't realize that they can add up to the maximum before their tax filing deadline. It doesn't have to be done through payroll, unlike your 401k, where the only way you can put money into your 401k as an employee is through your payroll, have part of your pay deferred into the 401k. HSAs, you can have multiple HSAs. You can also make a contribution to the HSA. So like the maximum for people that are under 55 last year was $6,650. You could still do that. Let's say you only put $2,000 in through payroll. You could write a check now, get that in by the 15th or the 18th, and then take the deduction on your tax return.
And that goes to reduce your federal tax income, correct?
That's correct. It reduces your taxable income dollar for dollar. And then, of course, if that's used for any kind of medical expenses in the future, then it comes out tax-free. So it's kind of like it's like a tax-deductible Roth IRA, kind of, where you get the tax savings in the current year, plus it comes out tax-free, and that can be a huge benefit.
Wow. I kind of remember back in the day when I was in financial services, too, where we'd always wait till the person was filing to determine how much to put in one of those healthcare savings accounts or into an IRA, because you want to make sure that it could potentially wash out that tax burden, that payment you're going to have to make if you filed and didn't do that.
And is it a sort of a one-for-one exchange? I mean, if you put in, you know, $5,000 in your HSA, that's, I guess, essentially $5,000 less in your income then, right?
Correct. So okay. If you translate that, if you're in a 15% federal tax bracket and 7 or 8% state, we'll just round off to 20. Yeah. You know, that by doing that, it cost you $4,000 to put $5,000 in, because you saved $1,000 in tax, or more than that if you're in a higher tax bracket.
Sure. And speaking of tax brackets, we should just say a word about that. I mean, they could be worse. Maybe I'll put it that way, right?
Well, yeah.
And maybe they will be one of these days soon.
And politics aside, sure, if you just look at our national debt and the deficits each year, you know, it seems like it's a bit short-sighted to not be planning for higher tax rates. And rates currently are relatively favorable to what they were back in the 80s and 90s. You know, there was no 10% bracket back then, and now the 15% bracket. So on the first 18,000 or so of taxable incomes, that's after your deductions and exemptions, and that's on page 2 of your 1040. So if somebody looks at the front page, the bottom line is your adjusted gross income, and then that follows across to the top of the next page. And then you have your deductions and exemptions, and then it's your taxable income, and that's the magic number, because that's the number that they take to the tax chart to calculate how much tax you're going to pay. And those rates currently are lower, meaningfully lower than they were 15, 20 years ago, which is huge. We see a lot of middle income, especially a lot of retirees where they maybe accumulated a good amount of assets, but their income now is lower, and they're in a 15% tax bracket comfortably, or maybe 25. And 20 years ago, if everything was the same, they would have been in a 31% tax bracket, or certainly 28. So the takeaway there is to understand what tax bracket you're in, your marginal tax bracket. That's the rate you pay on your last dollar of income. And if you're not filling up, if you think that you might be in a higher bracket in the future, is there some things that you can do to fill up that lower tax bracket? And one way to do that is with conversions, Roth conversions, which I think I don't know how much detail we get into.
We'll talk. We'll come back and talk about that, because I think, you know, we want to minimize the taxes. I mean, that's just good stewardship. And we want to be good stewards of the resources God has given us. We want to plan for the future. We're talking about it today with Kirby Stahl, who's the Senior Director for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern, Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. Paul Stein's a certified financial planner and founder and president of Advanced Retirement Resources. And they're with us today here on Connecting Faith as we talk planning, taxes, planning. And we'll get into charitable contributions, IRAs, 401ks, all those things. Love to have you join the conversation, too. You may have a question, and now would be a great time to get some free advice. 877-933-2484 is our phone number. That's 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient, you want to just submit your question or your comment online, if you go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page, there's an email link right there. You can submit your question that way, and we'll get to it here in just a few minutes as we talk more with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein on Connecting Faith. Talking today with Paul Stein, certified financial planner with more than 25 years of experience as founder and president of Advanced Retirement Resources. Kirby Stahl is the vice president of the Northwestern Foundation and senior director for advancement services at the University of Northwestern. And we're taking your calls today at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And that little song reminded us about being multiplied, and we'd like to multiply the investments we have and divide the tax responsibilities. Maybe that's how we're doing. And Paul, just before the break, you talked a little bit about, you know, some ways that we can, even now in this window before our taxes are due, could make some contributions. The HSA was one example. We could invest in that if we have one of those. You just also mentioned the Roth IRA. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, there's two ways to get money into a Roth IRA. One is by doing a contribution, and those rules are different. And then the second way is by doing conversions, and it all comes down to the source of the money. So a contribution is just made with money that's coming from non-retirement accounts. So either it's income or savings, but it's not retirement. It's new money that's going into this Roth IRA. And you have until your tax filing deadline to contribute for the previous tax year. Now, Roth IRAs don't save you any taxes in the current year, so it's after-tax money. So if someone's already filed their return, they still could potentially contribute to a Roth IRA. For last year, it wouldn't affect their tax return, but wouldn't save anything. But then it gets money into a tax-free account for the rest of their life, and it passes to their children or the beneficiaries tax-free, and then they can take it out based on current tax law over their lifetime life expectancy. So tax-free is always that's good.
That's good.
It's good. Yeah. Pay less in tax, then you can have more money to give or spend or whatever.
Well, maybe circle back to that. I want to take a call, though. Allie is calling in from Hastings and has some question about an older 401k account. Allie, you're on with Paul and Kirby. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. My question really quickly is that I was contributing to a 401k when I was employed. Now, I left 5 years ago to be a stay-at-home mom, and that money is just hanging out. I never actually put it into anything. So I've got about $5,000 just sitting in an account. It's still there. It's just not doing anything. And I was wondering what would be, let me back up a little bit. I'm 36. We are not homeowners. The only debt we have at the moment is my husband's school debt. And I'm wondering what is going to be the best, what's going to be the best way to invest that. I don't know that much about the different products that are out there, 401k, Roth IRAs, those kinds of things. I just want to put it somewhere secure that it's going to be able to grow and do something for me.
Okay. Good question.
Good question. Well, there's a lot of variables there. And Neil, you mentioned about getting advice.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be careful. We can provide information here. But it's impossible to know everything that to really give advice.
Sure.
So we can hopefully have some good information. With an old employer plan like that, you can leave it there indefinitely if it's above the minimum that plan requires. Sometimes if it's a smaller balance, they'll force you out.
Okay.
So if you've left the employer and you're no longer employed there, then you they might force you out. And a lot of times it's like $5,000. If it's less than that, you have to do something with it, and you can either take the distribution. But if you're in your 30s, that would be the least wise thing to do, because then you're going to pay tax plus penalty, 10% penalty, and so that's expensive. But you can leave it there. The one question is, what do you want that money for? What do you want it to do for you? If it's for retirement, you could leave it there. Nowadays, a lot of plans have these target date funds where they allocate it based on your age, how far away you are from retiring. And if it's something that you're not sure what you want to do and you want to just have somebody else manage it for you, and you feel like I'm okay with kind of average risk for my age, that can be a very good way to do it. Just use one of these target date funds. They're fine when you're an accumulator. They're not ideal when you hit the distribution phase, when you retire. Because they don't give you flexibility and just take it. They might be gradually shifting inside that target date fund into more conservative things, but they're still going to have some spicy things in there. And you can't call them up and say, you know, don't touch the spicy things because the market's down right now. You know, I just want to take a little bit from some of the safe stuff. And they'd say, sorry, you know, it's kind of like cream in the coffee. You can't just take out the cream. It's all mixed together. But that's a good way to just leave it there. The other way is you can roll it into an IRA. Just from what she mentioned there, in rolling that over, you could also convert that if that's a traditional 401k that was put in pre-tax, those dollars have never been taxed, you could convert that, roll that over to a Roth IRA. That's a taxable event. So the question is, why would you do that? Well, if they went from two incomes to one income, if she's a stay-at-home mom, they might be in a lower tax bracket. So they could roll that over at potentially the lowest rate that they're ever going to pay, especially if she maybe goes back to work in the future. So that'd be an opportunity. The other thing is to consider is, what are the value of the investments? If the market's not done very well here, if I can convert when the market's down, that's ideal, because then I'm paying a low rate on a low amount, and then I let it appreciate tax-free in the Roth. And the third thing might be, if they come to buy a home and they want to do that before they're 59 and a half, by rolling that into a Roth IRA, you do have to wait for 5 years after the conversion. But then you could take out the amount that you converted without and avoid the 10% penalty. So I don't know all the
there's still going to be some tax by rolling this over into Roth, okay, but it'll be hopefully their income is lower at this point, so that will be a minimum penalty.
Probably. That's correct. And okay. if you do this when you're under 59 and a half, you wouldn't want to have the taxes withheld from the amount you're converting, you're rolling over. Otherwise, you would pay the 10% penalty on that. So there's a lot of details, and that's where it really would be good for her. Hopefully, that's helpful, but you really need to talk to someone that can help with the details.
Sure.
And I do think, you know, we always say, well, who's your person? For your financial advising, for your taxes, for your legal. So if she does not have a person, we could always, again, take a call to say who are some in the area and throw out some possible names or even refer from there.
Sure. Call the foundation. We should mention the foundation number. It's a toll-free number, right?
Yeah.
It's 800-692-4020.
That's it. And my extension is 5378.
Okay.
Call,
yeah.
Leave a message.
Kirby knows a lot of people, or their tax preparer, get a good recommendation from their tax person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She could probably do better than just leaving it there, right? Or not necessarily.
Yeah, I do think that sometimes when you do leave your employer, no one there is watching this plan.
Yeah.
So again, if you don't make the attempts to adjust it or to reinvest it or to change your investments, no one there is going to pay attention to it. And so it's really up to you. And sometimes it's difficult to get access to some of those old employer plans and making those changes in investments.
Sure.
Well, and then and especially if you have you've worked several different places, sometimes they get left behind, they get overlooked. And as Kirby mentioned, someone should be keeping an eye on that to see how is it doing. Should it be changed? Should it be adjusted? That's where some of these target date funds is somebody you're handing that off to somebody else to manage that for you. It's a one size fit all, so you have to be mindful of that.
Is a Roth a better choice for a 36-year-old than say a 56-year-old or a 66-year-old? I mean, is it always a good investment?
I think about the earning years and the fact that younger people probably on average are earning less than older people. As they progress through their career, they probably have greater income, so they might be in a different tax bracket. And I think as your tax bracket increases, well, then you're going to be paying more taxes.
Yeah, so to piggyback on that, if you just use some generalities here and you said, okay, when someone's early in their career, maybe their income is lower. So if that does translate to a lower tax bracket, then contributing to Roth accounts is more compelling. Because putting money in traditional IRA, traditional 401k, 403b, whatever, if I'm putting it in pre-tax, the whole idea is that works to my benefit. If I'm in a higher tax bracket now than I am when I take it out in the future, that works well. Mm-hmm. If that's not the case, then I should be looking at other things.
We'll look at some other things and continue the conversation here with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. We're talking taxes. We're talking charitable giving, investments. Retirement planning, wills, estates, trusts, all those important things. Love to have you join the conversation. Here's our phone number, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. More with Kirby and Paul in just a moment. The hour and talking planning today, taxes, the tax deadline day coming up here, kind of reminding us that we need to account on how we're doing and review, and it's a good time to do that. And also been thinking about, well, who is it that we have that can advise us? Well, we're getting some wise insight today, information at least, advice. Will our guests will share their opinions, but when you want good financial advice and tax advice, so hopefully you have your guy or gal that can do that for you. Paul Stein is a certified financial planner and founder and president of Advanced Retirement Resources, and their work is to help individuals identify and work toward their ultimate financial goals through highly personalized financial planning and wealth management. Kirby Stahl is senior director for advancement services at the University of Northwestern in St. Paul. and vice president of the Northwestern Foundation. And we're talking taxes and advice. And just before the break, we're responding to Allie's call about her old 401k just kind of sitting there. And we got talking a little bit about Roth and mentioned that, there's different maybe seasons or ages when the Roth is a better investment or a wise investment. And Paul, I know there's more to say about that.
Yeah. Well, just like people try to diversify their investments into different types of things, because that provides flexibility. So if stocks are, the most simple, portfolio is stocks and bonds. A lot of times when stocks go down, bonds hold up, and bonds provide more income than stocks. Stocks provide more growth. So they do different things. So they're good at different things. Nothing is perfect, so there's no perfect investment. So you got to know what you need from that each investment you make. And then try to pick the best investment. But having a variety of different things is very helpful because then it gives you flexibility. And that's the best way to manage uncertain future is having some flexibility. So the same way with taxes, I would encourage people to consider allocating the types of accounts they have. So because here's a situation where you have no flexibility. Let's say somebody was just packing money into their 401k their whole career. They retire. And now every dollar that they need for income is taxable. They don't have any other place to take income when they need it. So they you can't manage that very well other than choosing not to spend money. But if they had some money in traditional accounts, a 401k, an IRA, and just like now more and more companies are adding Roth features to their 401ks, which are just like IRAs, different contribution limits, but they comes out tax-free. So the idea then when you get to retire is you take money out to fill up your lower tax brackets. I want to get that money that's not been taxed. I always want to pay a low rate. And then if I need more income, then I take it from some other accounts that don't trigger tax or trigger less tax. That's
So someone, say, 62 before retirement, that'd be a good time to make use of a Roth, wouldn't it?
Well, unless they're in their peak earning years, let's say their career is going well and their income is high, then I would say no. Then trying to get tax deductions is favorable, because then let's say they plan to retire, when they retire and then their income goes down, and then there's been a lot of seminars and a lot of talk about the timing of when to start Social Security, and most people start it right away. As soon as they retire, they start that Social Security. You can make a very good case for delaying it. You take a reduction in your benefit if you start it before your full retirement age. But once you hit your full retirement age, if you actually postpone and delay starting it until you're 70, it goes up 8% per year, which is a pretty good increase. But if I delay starting my Social Security benefits, then I might have a window there where my income is lower, and then I can take out the income I need, but then I can also do some Roth conversions to fill up my lower tax brackets. And get that into tax-free accounts. And when I start my Social Security, because then the IRS does this formula to determine how much your Social Security benefits are going to be subject to tax, but that doesn't include Roth distributions currently anyway. So not only do I pay a low rate, I take it out tax-free in the future, but it might avoid paying some income tax on my Social Security benefits. And when you add up those benefits, there's a window there where someone can have a huge impact on their retirement. Mm-hmm.
And I just might say, too, then that's a lot of good information, a lot of information, right? There's this magic age, 70 and a half, and I think we all hear about that, and I'm not close to that age. However, I know that that's the mandatory age when you have to start pulling money out of these IRAs. And if you do have one of these traditional IRAs where you put in all that money, and it grows tax-deferred, you'll pay income tax on that. And the government recently, in December, passed the Tax-Free Rollover Act and made it permanent now. So for those who have large retirement plans, they're forced to take these required minimum distributions. They could send those dollars to charities tax-free. And I think that's something that's important to realize, too, for people who have large retirement plans. They don't necessarily need that retirement income because they have Social Security or they have other income coming in. But boy, they have to pull it out because it's the law.
They have to take the distribution. Mm-hmm. But if they were using that as charitable giving, that could make a significant difference.
It's become a new charitable giving tool that's really good for people who have these sizable IRAs and they don't need that income.
Yeah. And the other benefit of that is sometimes people in retirement, they don't have any debt anymore. So they might not have enough in deductions, itemized deductions to itemize. So if they take the standard deduction, but then they do their charitable giving through a qualified charitable distribution, then they still get the benefit of never paying tax on those dollars. They went to charity. So if they would have taken them out, even if they're in a minimal tax bracket, you know, they would have gotten 80 cents, 75, 80 cents on the dollar. But then instead they have, and then they could have turned around and given that to charity, or they can give the dollar by doing the qualified charitable distribution.
Yeah, so it really maximizes that that charitable gift.
And
really.
It's permanent now. It's permanent law. Okay. So a person could do this anytime during the year. They don't have to wait till December and wonder if the government's going to refresh the law.
Yeah, the last few years it's been difficult because it's been right up to the end of the year before we've known if it was going to be renewed for that tax year. Yeah.
Well, let's take Tim's call because Tim's question, I think, kind of relates to Kirby, just kind of what we were talking about earlier about having a guy. Tim's in Madison. Go ahead. You're on with Kirby and Paul.
Hey, Kirby and Paul. Hey, thanks for the show, a program. It's really very informative. My question is when you're looking to find that, quote, right person or the team that can guide you, you have tax and financial planners, which are just that. They can do your taxes, also give you some guidelines for financial planning. But we're working, you know, looking to maybe work and have maybe a wealth management team or a certified financial planner, maybe a fiduciary that is in the best interest of you as compared to someone who can just give you some guidance based on the plans they can offer, based on maybe a different type of funds they can offer, whereas maybe your management team could actually open it up a little bit more. I understand the different types of funds and then, of course, you know, the fees associated with it. Is one better than the other, or seeing that you're a certified financial planner or a tax person planner, if you could explain that a little bit for the listeners?
I might just start by saying that trust is a huge word in this matter. You know, who can you trust? And, you know, realizing that, yes, if you find someone who has the breadth of experience and the ability to maybe focus on multiple things, not just the investment portfolio, but looking at your whole picture, that would certainly be the better route to go. But there's still an element of trust there where maybe the financial advisor who's a CFP, who deals with a smaller portfolio of clients, could very well meet your needs. But maybe it is that wealth management practice that has multiple people who are able to address maybe your more complex needs who might be best fit for your experience. So,
yeah, that's a good question. There are a couple things. One is, as Kirby mentioned, trust. I would just translate that to integrity. Look mm-hmm. for, you know, does somebody have integrity? Second is, do they have competence? What are their areas of expertise? So they're good at what you need. And then the third is transparency. Do you know how they get paid? What are their potential conflicts of interest? And if that isn't laid out, those are fair questions to ask. There are really good people that do really good work that work on a commission basis. There are really good people that work on a fee basis. And also on both sides, though, there's people that are not so good or lack mm-hmm. integrity. So I'd first and foremost want to work with somebody that has the highest integrity and is very competent. It seems like there's a lot of discussion about, you know, fees or commissions. Most of our work is on a fee basis, the vast majority of it. But and when you're paying a fee to somebody, then there is required transparency, and then they're held to what's called a fiduciary standard. It's like if they're the trustee of your trust, their obligation is to make every effort to do what's in your best interest. And we think that's ideal. And the Department of Labor just passed some laws within the last couple of weeks to hold more advisors, people that work, that give financial advice, up to a fiduciary standard versus a suitability standard, which might not be the best advice, but as long as it's suitable, you know, then it's okay. So But all that gets confusing. I think the most important thing is, you know, does the person have integrity? Is the person competent? And then know how they do get paid, and ask about conflicts of interest. So you know.
Yeah, and I think too another thing to consider is, do they know you and do they know your goals? Because you could have a great person who's well versed, but if they can't really identify with you and what your goals are with your resources, I've run into some financial advisors who just don't get the Christian worldview perspective, and they don't get why you'd want to give away as much money to ministries as you do. And sometimes that presents a challenge then as they're trying to invest for those types of goals.
By the way, the foundation, you're not certified financial planners, right? But you do, you can offer, I guess, recommendations and advice.
Right? Yeah, we are not certified financial planners. We do have a lot of connections in the probably the five-state area of people who would be trusted advisors. But yeah, we can help people with that.
Good. A good resource.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can call their toll-free number. It's 800-692-4020. And just connect with Kirby Stahl. Kirby is the Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation and Senior Director for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern, and the Paul Stein Certified Financial Planner, President of Advanced Retirement Resources, and they're located in Lionel Lakes, Minnesota. Let's take a quick break. We've got some questions to get to here on the other side of the break, and so we'll do that break now and come back, talk about selling property, about Roth IRAs, and I think we get a little a medical question as well. We'll get to all that and more just ahead. When it comes to financial planning and estate planning and all those things, we get together with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein every quarter or so here on Connecting Faith, just to remind ourselves that, you know, there's work to be done in this to be good stewards of the resources God has entrusted to us, not just for, you know, us, but for those that follow after us. And so I recommend that you, you know, go back to maybe listen to past conversations, or you connect with Kirby Stahl, who's a Senior Director for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern, Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation, or Paul Stein, Certified Financial Planner and President of Advanced Retirement Resources. They're in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. You can find out more about them as well. We have links on our website. And we have some questions that we want to get to. Here's Jackie, who emailed the question. It says, we started money market accounts for our two boys many years ago, and now they're 21 and 24 years old and end up paying taxes on their dividends every year. You know, did we open up wrong accounts for them considering their ages? Can we convert the funds to a Roth?
Well, if you have a money market that's paying any dividends, that's a pretty good thing.
Well, I was going to say, that's I want to find out more about that account.
Yeah, no. But money market rates are painfully low right now, so I say that tongue in cheek. But it depends on how those money markets were set up. If they were set up for the children when they were minors, and they were set up as an UTMA account where it was actually a gift made to the kids, then now once they hit 21, that's legally the kids' money, and they can do anything they want with it. They could contribute that to a Roth based on their income. So if it's having earned income from either W-2 or 1099, it has to be money or income that you worked for. It can't be portfolio passive income. So, but if they have earned income, then they can contribute up to 100% of their earned income up to the limit of $5,500 for last year, and again this year the contribution limits didn't change. So yes, they could easily take that money from what I understand from the situation. They could take that and put that into Roth IRAs up to the limits.
And that's not considered a conversion because it's coming from a non-IRA account into an IRA type of account.
That's correct.
And so it would just be based on their income. And then they could contribute.
Correct. There's those annual contribution limits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take this one. Marlene called in Coon Rapids. She says, I'm Oh, hang on. My screen just flipped on me here. Marlene says, I'm retired and sold some property. I have a large chunk of money and want to know what to invest it in, Roth IRA. And, of course, we don't really know anything more than that, but is there any general principle you want to offer?
Well, yeah, if she has earned income, she and her spouse, if she's married, they can contribute up to that annual contribution limit. So if they're under 50, it's $5,500. If they're 50 or over, it's $6,500 each. And it doesn't matter who has the income. So as long as combined they have that much income, they could put that much in for last year if they do it by the tax filing deadline here. And then they could also do it for this year. So by writing one check, they could contribute up to $26,000 of that from the sale of their real estate. Now, the other thing, there's all sorts of other opportunities that you're limited how much you can put in from non-retirement dollars into a Roth, let's say. But let's say they have a 401k through work and they have a Roth available there and they're maybe contributing 10% or some reasonable amount, but they're not max funding it. What they could do is they could max fund that up to $18,000 if they're under 50 or $24,000 if they're 50 or over. And that has to come out of their paycheck, which might wipe out their paycheck, but then they can replace the money from their paycheck that they deferred in their qualified plan through work from the sale of the real estate. So there's indirect ways that you can possibly get that money into a tax-free account or a tax-deferred account that sometimes people overlook.
And I'm just thinking, too, from the sale of property, you don't know, you know, if there was a gain on that sale or not, but they may have a tax liability based on the sale of that property that would make it very advantageous to put some of these funds away or to make a charitable gift to try to capture and to diminish the amount of taxes.
Yeah, and sometimes there are events that bump our taxable income up. So people that are charitably inclined anyway, that's where you could maybe use a donor advised fund or mm-hmm. if you could mention that, Kirby, where you want to get the tax deduction in the current year, but you're looking ahead to charitable gifts you're going to make anyway.
Yeah, and donor advised funds are just a simple way to park a bunch of money into one fund and then advise in future years on where they could go for charitable purposes. They have to go to a 501c3 charity, but it's a good way for, boy, if you have a sale of property, you've got a big lump sum of money and you don't know what to do with it and you know it's going to go to charity at some point, park it in a donor advised fund. And our foundation, as well as a lot of other foundations, offer these types of tools.
Which saves the taxes.
It does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then if you think of this before you sell the property, then there's other things that Kirby can help with if you need income, if you don't need income. But there's a lot of neat things that can be done if you're charitable. And you think of it before you sell the property.
Mm-hmm. In fact, just at the end of 2015, we were talking about donor advised funds on this very show. After the show, a person called me up and wanted to transfer a residence here in the Twin Cities to Northwestern Foundation. We're in the process of selling that now because it was a charitable contribution. The proceeds are going to go to fund one of these donor advised funds. It's going to save that person a lot of money because they bought that house a long time ago when there was little basis in it, and sure. And they're saving quite a bit on taxes.
Yeah. I was just talking to a client this morning. They are retiring down in Florida, but they have a cabin in Wisconsin and looking at the potential sale of that in a number of years. And then we just estimated what the capital gains will be if it's not their primary residence, and it's substantial. Mm-hmm. And if you're charitable anyway, you can just give a whole lot more to the charities that you care about and a whole lot less in taxes.
Yeah. Let's take Mary in Waverly College. She said, I didn't know that you can contribute to the HSA. My husband also has a flexible spending account for health. Since we have that, can we contribute to both, or does it have to be one or the other?
Well, that's a good question. And I know depending on the employer, they might offer the HSA, and then you have that fund that you can put money into. Or if you don't have an HSA, a lot of times there still are flexible spending accounts. And I know for the HSA, for certain, you can fund those outside of payroll deduction. But, Paul, do you know about the flexible spending accounts? Are they the same way?
Well, there's sadly, as you know, you try to keep things like this simple, and it inevitably gets complex. You know, there's flex spending accounts, there's health savings accounts, there's medical spending accounts. It all gets kind of confusing. With to specifically answer the health savings account, to add what Kirby said, the key is to know if you're if the the medical insurance plan that you selected through your employer or on your own is HSA qualified. That's the key. So if your medical plan is HSA qualified, then it doesn't matter what other plans may or may not be available. The contribution, the rules are different, but your HSA rules just apply to that HSA. And you can contribute to as many of those as you want. You can't exceed the annual limit from all contributions. So if your employer adds some, then you have to make sure that you don't exceed the limits by what you add.
Right. And that's pretty common, isn't it, for an employer in a situation like that. But just be aware of that. So.
Yep.
All right, let's try and get a couple more in here. This Nina says, can you comment on long-term care insurance? Is it necessary? What are some things to consider in determining what type to purchase?
Well, the really short answer, I guess the most important question to ask is we talk about, having a retirement plan, having an estate plan. So I think the most important question is, what's your plan for long-term care? That's the most important question. So if you do nothing, then you're bearing that risk yourself. If you get insurance, then you're offloading some of that risk to an insurance carrier. And the time allowed, there's many different types of plans. The number of options has greatly reduced in the last few years because so many insurance companies have gotten out of the business. So there's fewer to compare, but you really want to look at, do you want to offload all the risk? If so, look at the best plans and offload all of it or most of it. If you don't do anything, you're bearing it yourself, or is there somewhere in between where you're sharing the risk? Be a good consumer as best you can. And there's a lot of different plans, but the main thing is what's your plan, and how's it going to work whether you have insurance or not.
Okay, let's. Dorothy and Kenyon, and this is, we only have a couple minutes left, but she says, can you speak to wills, trusts, and estates? My husband and I are retired and wondering if you could speak on those topics. So maybe in 2 minutes, what's the the three most important things when it comes to wills, trusts, and estates?
Well, I always say that if you don't have the plan, somebody else has a plan for you. So depending on your state of residence, if you don't have a will or a trust or something that will help dispose of your assets when you're gone, then it could be that somebody else, the state or the court system, will come in and get involved. So make your plans today. And I know sometimes those are very sensitive topics, but take stock of what you have. So much of these investments that we've been talking about have a beneficiary designation attached to them. And you'll want to make sure those beneficiary designations are up to date, whether they're passing those investments off to children or to charity. You can even pass in Minnesota and some other states your residence by transfer on death, TOD, deed, where you could assign that today, go down to your county office, and have your house passed by beneficiary. You're bypassing the whole probate system in that way. And then there are some other things I'm sure you can consider.
Yeah, reviewing your beneficiaries is a really simple thing to do. You know, all your retirement accounts, your insurance policies, they're not going to pass through your will unless you named your estate as the beneficiary. So a very simple thing to do, first thing to do, is just review their beneficiaries and are they the way they want them to be. And then secondly is a power of attorney and a health care directive are sometimes things that people overlook in addition to wills and trusts like Kirby mentioned. We might have to go into that a little bit more another time.
We'll have you guys back because there's a lot more to talk about. But good advice, as always. Kirby Stahl, who's the Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. Paul Stein is the President of Advanced Retirement Resources. Both gentlemen here to serve you and assist you. There's some ways that they can do that. You can connect with them, and we'll put links on our website for that as well. That's at myfaithradio.com. You'll also hear this program again. If you want to review some of it or pass it on to a friend, go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. And we look forward to talking with you over the next 3 days for Spring Share.